Hello, it's Kathy Love here. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. It's my pleasure to share up more private practice stories and wisdom in this, our third season. My guests are generous, creative, and honest. It has been such a joy to be able to hold these conversations and capture these moments for your listening pleasure. We're sure that you'll really enjoy these unplugged chats and these private practice heart-to-hearts. So settle in, let's get the conversation started. Hi there, Karina, how are you?
I'm well, Kathy, how are you?
I am good. I am very, very toasty with the central heating dialed up to a million because I don't even think we've hit double figures out there just yet. So welcome, 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 Karina Follant, Founding Director of Pro Assist. And I want to hear from you all about the awesome of Pro Assist. Let's just jump straight in and talk about what you've started. You've started a monster.
I have. And it's so over the last 2 years, I've been working with the allied health professionals. It almost started by mistake. I started working with a physiotherapist, and just together we started uncovering this support that she didn't have and that no one else seemed to be offering. And so we started, you know, automating her business and, you know, helping her just focus on her clients rather than focusing on all of that, you know, fluffy stuff around the outside. So from that, we've developed a business that is all about allied health professionals. It's all about them taking back their lives and, you know, focusing on what they've trained for all their lives, not all that necessary fluffy stuff on the outside.
So what is it exactly that you do?
So we do business automation. So, you know, helping things happen without the therapist touching the business. We help businesses get a customer service front. So you're raising the profile of their business and, you know, getting a receptionist into their business. So their bookings and all their appointments are managed for them. And we introduce some efficiency by, you know, taking over those necessary tasks and just making them happen in the background. So the therapists don't have to think about it.
It all sounds a little bit different and even more extraordinary than your typical virtual assistant kind of business. And your website sort of has a few different pockets and places to go. So it's front of house, it's onboarding new clients, it's building systems. But the automation stuff is, that's a little bit different. That's kind of a really skilled piece. What are some of the systems, if you like, that private practitioners can automate?
Yeah. Absolutely. So something that takes up a lot of private practice time is onboarding new patients, qualifying new patients, whether they are the right fit for them. So introducing things like online questionnaires for new patients to complete and automating the booking system so patients can just book in with them. Basically the, you know, the forefront of the automation process. And then there's also, you know, developing the relationship with the clients as well. So, you know, keeping in touch with them and, you know, automating their invoicing so they're getting their invoicing on time and, you know, things like that just to, you know, help everything run smoothly.
Yeah, there is so much that can happen in that space. But sometimes I kind of hear that it's quicker. I'm doing air quotes, which are totally hopeless. Here come the air quotes. It's quicker and easier if I do it myself, or I can't afford to outsource that, or it doesn't take long, or that my clients need to hear from me. And whilst we are inching towards releasing all of the awesome stuff that we do can deliver, the step towards automation and using technology and software and a whole range of clouds, not just one, it's happening slowly. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I'm seeing, I guess in the last year, there's been definitely a push towards starting to onboard where people are not just seeing it as something that is a nice to have, but almost a necessity. You know, there's so many virtual assistants that you can choose from out there, but if you find the right one and you onboard successfully with them, then you find that you're not just, you know, onboarding someone to do your administration, you're actually forming a relationship with them and they almost become a clone of yourself. So, you know, you spend a little bit of time at the start to spend a little bit of time at the start setting up your relationship, and then you get a feel for the business. And so, and then you're talking about, you know, the cost of a VA. You should really be thinking about the investment that your VA can do for you. So if you just have them answering your phone calls, then you've got to think about what investment that is for you. So if you miss a phone call, what does that mean? Does it mean that you've lost a booking or lost an opportunity? Or maybe the profile of your business is a little bit lower because your customer service isn't there. So, you know, it's not just looking at the scary aspects of it, but looking at it as an opportunity and using your VA for the important aspects of your business.
Yeah. Agree. You don't have to convince me. I've learned a lot from my VAs over the last 2 or 3 years. Mm. One thing that I do rabbit on a lot about is the value that we have on our own time and almost our self-worth. Mm. And that there are people who absolutely adore invoicing and receipting and chasing down payments and debts and things. And my attitude, we were talking about this before the recording, is it's really important to push out work to the universe that really floats other people's boats. And the benefit is that they are in their happy place. And you may have an extra 2 or 3 hours a month to do something different, whether it's nothing at all. Huge value in doing nothing at all from time to time, or developing new products, or working on other systems and parts of your business. And that releasing of this attitude of doing it all ourselves and, yeah, but I'm the only one that can do it. It's shifting. It's absolutely shifting. But some of it just sort of seems to be this marriage we're in with needing to work 50, 60 hours in our businesses.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a definite shift that I notice with my clients, where when we first start working together, I'm getting emails at midnight and 1 o'clock and
Midnight management.
Yes. And then I talk to them in the morning and they said, oh, I had 2 hours sleep last night. And then, you know, we've worked together for 2 months, and then the emails start becoming in more regular times, and they say, oh, I slept for 8 hours last night. And for me, that is so exciting that my business can impart that on the people that I work with. It's something that you can't put into words. It's something that they have to experience for themselves. And that only comes with trust and, you know, choosing the right people to work with as well.
Who knew you are in the business of wellness?
Absolutely. Who knew?
Gosh, that's just another level down. That's a really cool observation. I like that.
Yeah. They call it, I've got a couch in my office, and we call it Karina's couch, and I have clients call me and tell me their sorrows, and they lay on my couch and I write notes. And
Well, it's that whole kind of dealing with the mindset and dealing with the heart and the head all at once. And as business, well, you know, so many of us now are sitting here with our allied health degrees, but actually dialing up as fast as we can our management and leadership skills. And the number of times I've heard, yeah, but I wasn't trained to do all of that other stuff. So that's almost a bit of a, sometimes an excuse, just completely understandable, that there's just so much caution about going there into management land and into business land and into systems land.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes the practitioners don't actually know that this support exists to them, or they know it exists, but in the form of traditional employment where you have to pay a huge salary for someone to support you. So that's the beauty of virtual assistant. They can offer you such a flexible model that you pay for what you use, basically, which is, you know, really promising for those private practices out there.
Yeah, it's a great strategy as part of your growth management. Absolutely. As part of your growth strategy. It may not be forever, but it can really get you towards the next step.
Absolutely.
What do you guys at ProAssist do in terms of creating and curating social media content?
Yeah, so, you know, we get to know your business pretty thoroughly and, you know, what you want to focus on. So I think just before the podcast, we were talking about politicians. So, you know, if we
covered a lot of stuff before we did record.
We did. So you know, once we do a lot of research and we find out what your interests are, and then we get to know who your audience is, and then we just, you know, research that. And I guess one of the beautiful things about our team is that we're always curious. So, you know, we're, you know, looking up things and looking up blogs and content and putting it into our clients' faces and saying, we think this is pretty interesting. So, yeah, so, you know, that's the curating. Then we love to make things pretty. So, you know, getting into Canva and doing a graphic artist job. Oh, and
you call that work.
Yeah, that's it. So, you know, it's we get to have fun and, you know, help put informative information out there for our clients as well.
So you find it, so you curate it, and then you put it to the client saying, how is this going to suit what you want?
Yep.
And then I'm thinking that you are the queen of scheduling tools.
We are. Yes, we are.
Do you have a favorite?
So I do. So for Facebook posts, we post directly onto Facebook. Yeah. And that's just because that's what Facebook loves us to do.
And they haven't started charging us for it yet.
No, no. So you can, you know, get in there. It's probably not the most efficient way of scheduling, but it's, you know, for Facebook, it gives you the most reach. So, yeah, so directly under Facebook. And then for posting to our other sites, there's, you know, for the high end, you've got your Meet Edgars, which are, you know, pretty much the Ferraris of the scheduling world. And they help you repurpose content, which if you want to, you know, streamline and not create content as often as you should, then, you know, have repurposing your content's really good. So yeah, there's Meet Edgar, and then you can go down to your basic level like Buffer, which helps you, you know, you schedule your content in advance for you know, LinkedIn and Twitter and all of that.
Very cool. Let's just kind of pick up on something you said about we and the team and all the rest of it. Who is under the roof at ProAssist? Is there anybody, or all, are you all virtual?
We are all virtual, which is very exciting. So there's myself, and then I have four amazing team members. So we have the Jo, she leads my virtual reception team. So all of our phone answering and receptionists go under her. And then I have my three amazing virtual receptionists who are the medical receptionists or by trade or are highly experienced in the customer service or business management fields. So they are my superstars. They keep me going. I love them.
They ask hard questions.
Yeah, they do. They do. And they really push for the business to move forward as well, which is nice.
Very, very cool. So I'm thinking you guys get to put your little greasy mitts into some of the practice management software systems as well.
Absolutely. I'm a huge ambassador of bringing practice management software into practices. I think it's integral to running a successful business.
Completely agree. I just can't even find words now when I think about it, to be able to manage a software, a business in this day and age without it. I mean, how do you do Word documents and spreadsheets and, got no words, because I know what it's like when you shift.
Yeah.
The difference it makes you feel like such a boss.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Having everything, you know, I get people coming into the business from, you know, they've really established with their project, with their practice management systems, to they're still using paper diaries. So I've kind of seen the spectrum, and I've shifted people from paper diaries, and you're right, they just feel so in control and they've got so much more visibility of their business. And the time that they were taking to manage it, you know, the hard way was astronomical. So
yeah, I still think there's a little ways to go in terms of using your software package optimally. So sometimes I hear people aren't billing, they are billing out of it, and then sometimes they're not billing out of it, and sometimes they're writing their reports in it and sometimes not, and some reports are in one place and others in another. And I think there's this next level of really squeezing the juice out of whatever system you've got, and that takes a bit of time because you've got to get into the tutorials and you've got to be quite squared away mentally with your systems and how you can roll all of that into the practice management software. That would be a good, we should do that as a webinar or a workshop.
Absolutely. That would be perfect.
Just planning on the run here, folks.
Yeah. I think the key thing when I start working with someone is they might have chosen a practice management piece software, but they haven't considered all of the aspects, or they haven't really studied the software before they've actually joined up to it. They may find it's harder to use than what it was. So that's why they start, you know, trying to cut corners and, you know, doing it on their computer rather than on their system. So it's important to have a look at the software, not just for now, but where you're going to be in the future, to make sure that you choose the right one.
Yeah, and it takes time. And as the manager, you have to understand it completely and intimately. Yes. And then you have to be able to instruct your team to use it in that way as well, or else you will have data in all different places. And
absolutely.
I often talk about making sure that the information you put in is clean and not polluted. So it's a little bit of a moment when business owners realize they can get all sorts of reports out of their software as well, and that they can, you know, if they set it up right, they can see who their referrers are and when they last spoke to them and how many new referrals they got for a week or a month and how many assessments they've sold and so on and so forth. And so the reporting mystery is just some other big thing as well. But that was the only way I could run my business. I could get reports that were accurate within days as a rule.
Yeah.
And if, I knew what days the data was all in and what days I could get reports on, I'd get reports on all sorts of things, billable hours and time management and who we saw and who we didn't and cancellations. Absolutely. And on-site, off-site visits. Oh, my gosh, I probably could have hundreds of reports I could have got.
Absolutely.
And I geeked out on a bit of that.
I know, I geek out on it too. I absolutely love setting up those systems and integrating programs together. It's, you know, having that free-flowing information can really help you really build your business a lot quicker than you thought as well.
Yep. And it's all sitting in there. If you're putting it in right, it'll be sitting there for the reports. So ProAssist is nearly 2 years old. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
You seem to be very systems driven. What were you doing in your pre-ProAssist life that has helped you start up this new business?
So I was in the mining and construction industries, funnily enough, so completely different. And
yes and no.
Yeah.
No.
So, you know, I was donning the high vis and, you know, getting grubby in the coal. And part of that job was document management. So it was making sure that documents were always available, that reports were always available, that the systems were all set up properly and the right people had access to the right information. And the people that we were working with wanted to make the best of their time. So making sure that everything was automated and, you know, people weren't wanting for information, it was always available. So I kind of got the systems bug from that and absolutely loved it. It's I've always gone into a job with the aim of doing myself out of a job. So, you know, getting those systems in place, making sure everyone knows what's going on and making sure everyone's needs are met. So yeah, that's kind of where this is landed me.
I see so many parallels. And Richard Branson is known to have said that the only way to scale a business is to manage yourself out of it systematically from the first day, which I think is fascinating. And I happen to agree. How you do it is one of life's mysteries, but it's a life work, I guess. So I'm hearing that there was a whole lot of systems, policies, procedures, deadlines, flowcharts, project management.
So many.
I'm just seeing this whole multi-screen setup of charts and all the rest of it. So what you do now makes complete sense in my kind of non-mining mind. But why the niche into allied health?
Well, I love to help people. I say yes, probably way too much. And when, you know, there's a lot of industries that were always supported by virtual assistants. And I mentioned the physiotherapist that I originally started working with. She just said there was no one really there to help me, or they really didn't know much about the industry. And so, you know, I started digging a bit deeper and I found that allied health professionals were severely under-supported. you know, there was no really real affordable support for them to reach out and to help their business. So it just seemed natural. And I love working with allied professionals because they're so thankful and they give so much amazing feedback. And it's just, it's a pleasure for me to come to work every day and work with my clients. It's a really rewarding industry to be in.
They say niche, and you did.
I did. Welcome to our
part of the world.
Yeah, that's it. It was a bit of a transition, you know, not having, you know, I wasn't a medical receptionist in my past life. So mentally it was a bit of a jump for me. But when I did, you know, draw those comparisons between my background and the needs of the allied health industry, you know, it did seem to match perfectly. So
Well played. You are only just at the start of the need.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're increasingly familiar with the NDIS and workforce issues and a whole time for money and all of that sort of piece. So, yeah, I can't imagine you're going to be retiring anytime soon. Do you get any ideas about that?
No. And it's we were talking before the podcast. I'm really proud of my team, and I'm really proud that not only can I support my clients, but I can also support, you know, people in the community and give them that opportunity to work and, you know, be with their families at the same time as well. So, yeah, it's a really rewarding business to be in, and, yeah, I'm loving it.
To throw a humorous light on our pre-recording conversation was both of us got messages from the guys that mow our lawns at about 9:30 this morning just before we had to jump on, and yes, and we were both sitting in fear that we would be in bathrooms with towels over our heads, which has been done before on my part, or rescheduling or some other kind of dire background noise management. So, yes. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
We've escaped.
We have.
So if I'm sort of seeing you with the high-vis vest and charts and all of that kind of software support, and then moving into a new business. How did you learn about the business of business?
I have learned it all the hard way. So in the beginning, I learned that, you know, the virtual assistant industry was so peppered with so many assistants, and it was hard to break into, and resilience is something that I've really had to focus on. Building my business, I've had to trust my gut instincts a lot and just go, okay, I think this is going to work, and just give it a go and just constantly change and evolve. I've read so many blogs and I followed so many coaches as well to, you know, to help the journey along. So it's definitely not been something that I've done on my own. I've had a lot of support, but, you know, having that resilience and not afraid to change things up has been something that's really helped me. And I think I'll always be learning. I always make mistakes. Yeah, I always make mistakes. But I think, you know, you look back and go, that was a key learning moment for my business, and you can see the projection upwards from there. So, yeah, it's been a journey. Owning a business is not exactly something that I thought I would do, but I love it, and every day is so different.
What has your business taught you?
My business has taught me not to give up. That don't be put back by, you know, these setbacks that seem huge. Don't be afraid to say no for the purpose of, you know, bringing your business forward. And don't be afraid to just pick up and change your whole idea as well. I think in the past 2 years, I've changed my idea like 3 times. So, and it's only gotten better and better and better. So yeah, it's just, don't be stagnant. Don't get comfortable. Just always move forward.
A guy that I listen to quite a bit has got a great saying. He's got many, but I just don't remember them all. You can't steer a parked car.
No, that's right. That's exactly right.
You just got to put it in gear and start going somewhere, and then you can find your way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, you just got to get moving and, you know, just start actioning those small ideas, no matter how, you know, scary it seems. So,
yep.
Yeah.
You mentioned just then about some blogs you were reading and people you're following. I could imagine you've read some books. Would you like to share some of the favorite kind of pieces of content you've found or that you're currently enjoying?
Yeah. So I guess I started my journey. I don't know if you've heard of Flying Solo. I binge read on all of their content. And it's like, it doesn't matter if you're a startup or you've been in business for so many years. Like there's so many amazing content and writers on there on all different aspects of business. So that's kind of where I binge.
And being and it's Australian.
It is Australian. I love that. And I notice the writers that are on there and I, you know, divert off and say, oh, that was written by that person. And I go read their blog. And so, yeah, it's been lots of awesome information on that. I was also reading a book the other day by Kate Schreck on the A to Z of, I think,
Customer service. I know Kate. Customer service,
excellent. Yes. So I love that book and I'm always reading it. It's it really breaks customer service down into a really easy to digest and there's so much cool information in there.
Oh, she will be so pleased to hear it. She was a guest star in season one and is a great mate of mine.
Oh, awesome. What a small world.
Yeah. Any other faves?
Oh, look, from a purely from a virtual assistant point of view, I still am working with an awesome mentor, Donna Brown, who she's amazing at, you know, structuring your business to really move forward. So yeah, Donna's been a real keystone in my business and I'm always binging on her content as well. So yeah, there's so many amazing people that I love. And I don't know if you've heard of Sarah Note. She's a business systems strategist or online business manager. So she's got a lot of awesome information about introducing systems into your business as well. So I feel like even though she has no idea who I am, I feel like I'm a bit of a kindred spirit of hers.
Wow. Yeah. I've got some reading to do.
Yeah.
I've tried to scribble her name, but yeah, we might be able to find her stuff and put it in the show notes. It's kind of nice to link back to some of these things.
Yeah.
Wow. So you're busy reading and developing and growing and you're really, really proud of your team. What are you as a business doing incredibly well at the moment?
I think I'm really happy with the way that we are bringing new ideas into practices that is easy for them to implement. So, you know, one practitioners kind of when they're talking about, you know, introducing systems and services into their business, they're kind of like, oh, I don't want to deal with that. And they kind of hand it over. So, you know, we get in there and don't just implement fluffy stuff, but we implement stuff that they can, you know, really take hold of and, you know, take responsibility and ownership for and feel comfortable with it. And I also feel like we're not just offering a service to these people, we're kind of offering them a lifestyle opportunity as well.
Something. Sleep. Yeah. Providing sleep.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not something that I actually anticipated with the business. I thought we were, you know, providing a service. So yeah, it's really rewarding to hear that people are getting their lives back from the service as well.
Absolutely. I love those stories as well. But
yeah.
I love the stories that I hear, I didn't work this weekend. Yes.
Yeah, it's my favourite. Yeah.
Yeah, try and keep that management stuff in daylight, as I call it.
So, yeah.
It can take a while and it's new and scary and foreign, but we know we need to do it. But it can take a while to kind of know how to do management and know how to do systems and know how to do software. So when you drop that on top of a really busy clinical load, which is our sweet spot and what we were designed to do, that we've also got a little ways to go in our businesses in terms of having them serve us, not us serving them all the time.
Absolutely. And I think if I can impart any wisdom, you know, one of those key things is, oh, it takes too much time to get someone else to do it. It doesn't have to. There's, you know, so many tools out there, like you can get out your iPhone on a voice recorder and just record some notes and send that to your assistant and that's done. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be a slow task and you might feel that you can do it yourself in a quicker time than it takes to record, but what about if this task keeps popping up over and over and over again? So, you know, using that technology to, you know, to hand over your tasks is something that look at. Yeah. Yep.
Agree. Well, we started using Trello for a bit of a visual to-do list years ago. There's probably still things on there from day one, I might add, but that means that my team can log on from wherever they are in the world and see what needs to be done and we can see what we have done. We've got sort of an archive or a done folder, a done list, and it's really nice to see what has been done because that's what we forget. We're so future focused and head up about our to-do list. We don't always look at our done list.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Absolutely. Or you're caught up fighting fires and you're not, you know, looking at the big picture.
Yeah. But Trello's been great for that, that I can just pop things up, and then we use Slack as the day-to-day comm tool, which is good. You know, I just shut off. It's almost like using SMS, but they all land somewhere. And
yeah,
put some things up this morning and that will all be good. All be good.
Absolutely.
Oh, dear. What else would you like allied health business owners to know about using virtual assistants?
I'd like them to know that there is the support out there, that it doesn't cost you the salary of a, you know, a general medical receptionist, and that it might not be just medical reception support that you need. It could be that business support. And I want them to value their time more. So, you know, if you charge, say, $300 to write a report that takes you an hour, your time, your hourly rate's $300. So is it really worth you spending an hour going through your emails or creating content for social media? So, you know, really valuing yourself and handing over those things that you just don't need to think about, because it's just sucking the brain power that you you can't afford to spend, really.
Yeah. Whilst you can't name names, obviously, who are your clients? What professions are they? And please add to your answer that you're never too small to get a VA.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who are your clients and what are their business sizes?
So basically, I have chiropractors, speech pathologists, some massage therapists and psychologists at the moment. And they range from sole practitioners to having 10 practitioners in their clinics. And we do a range of services for them. The services do change, but the thing I found most interesting was you can tailor the service to whatever your size is. So, you know, your service as a solo practitioner be as complex as one that has 10, but you'll get, you know, just as much value out of it, no matter what your size.
I would probably go as far to say that the smaller you are, the more you need it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You do start, you know, I find the ones that, you know, have the 10 practitioners, they need it, but they're more savvy than the ones that are, you know, the solo ones. So
doing it all.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I think the makeup of my clients is probably 90% work for themselves. And, you know, that 10%, the savvy business owners.
Yeah, that might change though. We were talking before the recording about how we're really looking at workforce issues and the NDIS and whatever policies the government will throw at us in years to come around telehealth and Medicare and all the rest of it, that I suspect you're going to be busy for a long time yet, and you'll kind of, have a fleet of thousands before you know it.
Absolutely. My absolute dream is to, you know, I operate virtually now, but my absolute dream is to have clinics that, you know, therapists can come and work in and they have that virtual assistant there. It's my absolute dream. I've been thinking about it for, you know, more than 2 years now, and I'd love it to happen. So I know that there's those, you know, you can go and rent a room from another therapist at the moment, but having this collaborative space is such a dream of mine.
Well, I am looking forward to catching up with you next week, because I've had a business planned along those lines as well.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Oh my gosh, we're going to need more than 2 hours.
I think so.
So one of the questions that I have on my list that I may ask is what would you do if the golden unicorn bank fairy dropped a no questions asked $50,000 in your business account?
You
can't take a holiday, but what would you put it towards?
I would definitely put it into that collaborative space. It's been something I've got, you know, the business plan, I've got the dreams, I've got the ambition, and it's something that I just definitely drop it into straight away. And yeah, that's definitely where to go.
Very, very good. Very, very good. Are there any questions you'd like to ask me? That's part of the deal of being a guest.
Well, I would love to know what you're most proud of in your business.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I am proud of several aspects of my business, I think. My business is sort of, we're at a startup, but it's new and it's different. And I'm really proud that allied health providers who are providing services in the disability sector to children and families engaging in the content and are actually leaning in, cliche, but really, really keen to develop their management selves and to reclaim their time for fun and family. And, you know, their commitment to delivering powerful and profitable services, I'm really proud that I have had a little part in that stuff happening for my current and hopefully for my future clients as well. So the content and the products that we're offering, we are changing them constantly, as we should, but I'm really proud that they're landing and they're making a bit of a difference with current and future clients. So that makes me happy, and I'm proud that I can be creative and do something a little bit different, that whilst I have competitors, I can also be creative and really understand my current and future clients and deliver them what they need now, but also what they will need down the track as well. So I'm kind of building a bit of a future-proof business as well.
Yeah, I love it. And I also would love to know, if you had a virtual assistant, what would you outsource to them?
I have got millions of them. I am a huge fan. So my story with virtual assistants started in 2015, I think early 2015. And I worked with somebody who we actually both know, who I won't name for no other reason that we'll just, you know, share that. And I didn't really know what a virtual assistant did. And I probably drove her crazy by my lack of knowledge and lack of prep. And back in the day, it was about building the website. It was about preparing documents for events, promoting events. And when you think back, even 2 and 3 years ago, Facebook was really different.
Oh, yeah.
LinkedIn was really, really different. And so she helped me with promoting my goods and services, setting up events, writing documents, doing stuff on Canva, building, finding and scheduling, all sort of posting content. And then it kind of got more sophisticated and moved on to somebody else who could then supervise a team of VAs. And she sourced content, scheduled it, built all my events, found me venues. We had a newsletter going that was picking up traction. So she actually did all the art and copy work, or supervised a designer and copywriter to get the magazine going. And she just did anything and everything. She was amazing. And now I'm working with another VA who is a friend of that one. And once again, project management, website updates, social media scheduling, automating everything we can, battling with Zoom sometimes to get stuff happening. All the social media metrics, just it is just such a bigger game now. And part of what we do now is being so driven by the tech changes, particularly the social media changes, that their roles have changed and my knowledge about how to leverage their awesomeness has changed as well.
Absolutely. Love it.
Yeah. So my next frontier, I guess, is further automation around events, further automation around my membership product that we've just released, and more stuff that I probably don't even know exists yet. So yeah. A committed lifelong learner who is always keen to find the person that knows more than I do about anything.
I love it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you. I'm just so excited to hear more about your business. Whilst your website is gorgeous, it's actually lovely to hear and be able to ask you things. So thank you for throwing me a little bit of your time this morning. I'm going to leave you with the last word. If you want to give a shout out about your business, shout out the website, remind us about what you do. And yeah, we'll be catching up soon.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Kathy. If you want to find out more, jump onto my website. It's www.proassist.com.au and explore our services. I just ran a webinar about how to incorporate a virtual assistant into your practice. So that recording is also on the website if you want to go and have a look.
Thank you. Lovely. Have a good day up there in sunny Queensland.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for your time. See you.
Thanks, Kathy.
Bye.